The opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of DGVRadio.com, Envisage Productions, LLC, its advertisers, sponsors, or employees.
All right. Woo! We're finally back. Yes, welcome back to www.mybroadcastdvd.com. This is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we're glad in it. This is the day God is good. Welcome back to DVD Radio. Giving out of the brother, my brother in the studio. God bless him. Glory be to God. God is worthy to be praised. And also, of course, those watching here, I might lie. Now, I want to share with you today. We're back for another episode. Glory be to God. And we're trying to stay faithful to 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And this is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and we're glad in it. And so let's pray. Let's get into what God has for today. Get your notebooks, get your Bible, get your iPad, get your notes. You're going to enjoy this today. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks and praise that you are the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Father of all glory. You give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And our eyes are enlightened that we may know the hope of your calling. The glory is rich that are inside the inheritance of the saints and that exceeding greatness of your power to usward, because we believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you exerted in Christ, and you raised him from the dead, far above all principalities and all powers and all mights and all dominions, not only in this cosmos, but the one which is to come, which is your body that filleth all in all in Christ Jesus' name. So be it, so be it, so be it. God is good. What I want to share with you today here, of course, here on DVD Radio and also here on Mightline, I want to share with you the teaching I started today while I was driving. God bless you, Pastor Sharon. God bless you, President Crystal. And I'm going to frame the words a little bit different, and because I want to teach it from this aspect and this perspective. And I want to say this to you, okay, be very careful what you have been taught, because it could be error. I'm going to call it today. Be very careful what you have been taught, because it could be error. And the reason why I am teaching this the way that I'm teaching it, because I want to show you that it is possible for the blind to lead the blind. And you can both end up in the ditch. And the ditch is not the problem. The problem is that blind people have the capacity to lead you. And sometimes you might think that something is the truth, but it's not the truth. It's a lie looking like the truth. So part of equipping and training the saints, I told you, you'll be able to see. I told you. I see the Lord to come in. The baby start preaching. Don't go too far away. Let's walk around. I don't care, because there's an anointing. So sometimes when you are in error, that doesn't make it automatically right. And some folks are sincerely wrong. So I'm going to share with you a word that I've been talking about all day today, Cousin Jerry, but I want to show something, Barry Mack, and I thank you for your food product. We got to talk about your food product. Help push your product, Barry Mack, okay? And try to see who's real, who's not real. I get a lot of requests on my phone and my broadcast. And I want you to write down the word coming, C-O-M-I-N-G, coming. And we've heard this statement for a long time, the coming of the Lord. You hear people say the second coming. You know, so I'm going to talk about the coming, and we're going to rapture out of here. And then you get the one, the coming of the Lord, and there'll be no more heaven than earth, and everything gone away. I'm here today to help destroy that doctrinal thinking, because it has done more damage to the Christian faith than a little bit, because it has a habit of robbing you of your future, having you operate in fear. I'm going to give you an insight into the word coming that you probably never experienced. The word coming that's used in English translations, but in the Greek language is the word parousia, which means the manifestation of God. which means an awakening moment that is without a shadow of a doubt, something historically has been fulfilled. Now, when you hear the word coming as an American Christian, you think about, you know, Christ coming out the sky, the clouds open up, and he's coming to take us away in the rapture to escape this old mean old world. But when the Jews heard the word coming in first or second century Israel or Mesopotamian culture, they hear the word coming in a whole different fashion. Now, due to the time and due to some of the things I want to show you, I hope I can say it in such a way just for kind of waking you, it's important to understand that the word coming means God coming near. He's going to manifest. He's going to show up so that you'll be able to see it. Of course, if you go into the lexicon or go into Google and Google the Greek word for coming, it should say it's parousia and put it on the screen. I can go real deep because you get a lot of this deep teaching in my FITU course that is starting the month of February, which is School of Intensified Training and Understanding. And this is where I train students how to understand the Bible in a kingdom aspect so the Bible doesn't throw you off because you think as a Westerner. And sometimes when you listen to people and they talk about the Bible as a white man's book, the Bible as a white man, well, already I can tell you need training because the Garden of Eden was in Africa. Everything started out in Africa, the mother continent. You know, and from there, in the darker the hue, the more colors come out of it. You can pull a lot of colors out of dark colors. You can't pull much out of white colors. So you have to understand the darkest person is where everything came out of. So more than likely, Adam and his wife were dark black, like purple black, and they were beautiful. And from that came all these other colors. I'm not here to talk about color and ethnicity, but I'm trying to show you that a lot of times we say things and we assume we know what they mean. We only know what they mean according to our present culture. We don't understand it according to what God wants us to understand it. So when I mention the word the coming of the Lord, I know what you think, the rapture, the end of the world. But I'm going to show you in a few scriptures what this coming means when Christ uses the term. And when you see the word coming or you hear this term, his return, or you'll see the term his return or his coming, and you will see Apostle Pina Bruno. It might not mean what you think. Now, this whole issue on dispensationalism, rapture, the end of the world, it's going to get so bad and so worse. Christ has to come. A lot of this teaching is only like 1,800 years old. It wasn't the mindset of the early church, because the early church in the book of Acts, they were coming every day. They were coming to meet the Lord and then get filled with the Spirit and will go outside of the temple and their homes and change and transform their neighborhoods into thriving kingdom communities. And it's so important to understand. When you understand the word coming, it's a little bit deeper than American culture. Here's some things I probably never said on www.mikebroadcastdvd.com. And I want to make it so plain that you will get this. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. I said this before, but I got to say it again. And the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Let me say it again. The New Testament is the Old Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And there, I'm glad you did that, President Chris. That's perfect. You see that word parousia? P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A. And it is a Greek term for his presence, his arrival, manifestation. So when you see the word coming in the Bible, you got to be careful how people teach you. And then they say this term, the second coming of the Lord. Now, when you add second to that word second, that is not a biblical reference. That's something someone said and told us, all right? I like for you to keep to the biblical term of the comings of the Lord. So your next question would be, you know, what does coming mean, or which coming are you talking about? Here is the threefold nature of God that you'll find out throughout all the scriptures. God has come, God continues to come, and God shall come. You got that? Jesus has come. Jesus continues to come. And Jesus shall come. Thou is past, present, future, all at the same time. Watch this one. I am saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. Watch this. I have been sanctified. I'm being sanctified. And I shall be sanctified. Watch this. I am delivered. And I shall be delivered. I am delivered. I am being delivered. And I shall be delivered. You see how it comes past, present, and future all at the same time? This is a concept that people who study Hebrew, Greek, Arabic, and certain under levels of understanding will see that, biblically speaking, God covers all the time at the same time. He's a very deep God. And so when Jesus uses the word coming, be very careful, because it means a manifestation, it means an arrival, it also means someone that's an official coming to meet another official, or one official coming to meet other officials. Right? That's crazy, right? That's what the word coming means. So I'm going to read to you, and this is in Matthew's gospel, and this is right before they crucified Jesus. And when you get to Matthew's gospel and look at this, hope I can fit it. Look at Matthew's gospel 26. And of course, he is, of course, in verse 57, it says, the people who had arrested Jesus took him off to Caiaphas, who was the high priest, which is the Jewish leader of the temple. All right? Notice it, the Jewish leader of the temple, not America. Not the president, not Idi Amin, not Hitler, all right? The Caiaphas, the high priest that ran the Jewish temple. And also the scribes and the elders, which are also Jewish, had already arrived at the house. Verse 58, Peter, who was representation of the church of the ecclesia, or the guy that is following Jesus, however, followed Jesus at some distance all the way to the high priest's residence, or his house, or his mansion. He went in and sat with the servants to see how things would work out. Verse 59, the high priest and the whole council tried to produce false evidence against Jesus. Okay, ever-present God. That's good, Jerry, because that's good. They had to find evidence, which is false, to rack up the charges against Jesus, and they had to frame a capital charge to have him murdered. Verse 60 of Matthew 26. But even though they brought in plenty of lying witnesses, they couldn't find the evidence they wanted. Finally, after a long time, finally it happened to me. Finally, two people came forward and declared, watch what the accusation was. This fellow said, I will destroy God's temple and build it again in 3 days. Now, what they did, they took a portion of what Jesus said and twisted his words, because he said this scripture, Cousin Jerry and President Crystal, when you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up. He was talking about his physical body. But in a slick type of way, as we're going to look in a few minutes, in Matthew 24, Jesus prophesied that your temple will be torn down brick by brick, stone by stone, or rock by rock. And history tells you in 70 AD, Roman armies came in, those words came in, and tore the temple down and left the gate up outside, which is right now in Jerusalem. I went there in 2013, called the Wailing Wall, and he torched the place, and it was burnt with fire, which is the baptism of fire. So this was a time of judgment. So Jesus says, this temple that you guys kiss, that you worship, that you put money into, it's about 6 football fields wide. I am going to allow something to happen to it. And Jesus called that a type of parousia, a type of coming, a manifestation of my judgment and my correction. Now, I've been trying to work with you guys to get you to repent, to give your life to me so I can be like a mother hen and protect you from the wrath which is to come. But all those that listen to my word, they will escape the wrath to come. But those who want to hold on to the old heaven and the old earth, you will pass away. You catch all that I just said. See that? How that messes with your American mind. All right, let's go back to John 26, and let's look at verse 61. This fellow said, he said that Jesus said, I can destroy God's temple and build it again in 3 days. That was the charge. The charge was that Jesus is going to burn the temple down. And they call that a capital charge. Now, when Israel's court or the Sanhedrin council votes a charge, in order for it to be carried out, it has to go through Roman leadership, which is Pilate. Are you with me? And here's some things about the Roman Empire I want to make pretty clear to everybody watching and everybody listening. Rome is the only government at this time that has the legal right to carry out execution. If the Jews did it, they had to do it. Nobody else was looking when they were stoning somebody. But real capital punishment comes from Rome. And there's a couple of things Rome doesn't like. When you try to rebel or create a crowd that will cause attention, Rome will come in and squash it. Any rebellion against Rome, they would crush it. And they will crucify it. Jesus wasn't the only one that was crucified. There were others before his time, okay? And they got to have a capital crime in court to carry it out. But the charges got to stick. You can bring up, we're going to, what they call the term for the president, Donald Trump had just been told this the second time. But the Senate has to vote it through. And it's possible that it might not go through. So he's going to make history. So a lot of times we're pushing something, and we're almost pushing to be a martyr, which makes him famous, you know, because you still need the Senate to carry it out. So what they're doing here, they have to find enough false evidence to convince Rome to carry out the judgment. Now, I'm going to read this, and I want you to see this. I'm going to switch over to something and come back here because I'm teaching you about how wrong teachings can affect you. Certain words can impede your understanding, and it gives you a sense of, I got to get away from the devil. The devil got all this power. Here comes the Antichrist. Here comes the false beast. Here comes the end of the world. Here comes 666. You know, you better watch them cell phones because that's the mark of the beast. You know, ooh, here comes 666. You know, here comes the beast. Here comes the Antichrist. And everything is run, hide, scared, afraid. I don't see none of that in the book of Acts. I don't see none of that. These disciples were bold as a lion and willing to suffer for Jesus' name, and they counted a privilege to die for him. My church world, folks don't so speak, you roll your eyes, but the pastor don't call you, and you get missing for 6 years. Impeached, thank you. Impeached twice and not convicted once. Now, we're going to see, all right? Let the will of the Lord be done. But impeach, and sometimes, you know, martyrs carry a lot of weight, and we might be too much attention focused on one man. We need to focus on our present administration and build that. Just I'm giving you some truth here. So they found the false witness, right? And now they got to try Jesus like at the civil court level before we get to the federal court level. So we're going to try you at civil court, and I got to make sure you're guilty, which means that these charges were trumped up, and they were not real. They were fake. They were false. So just because people accuse you, it doesn't mean it's real. Only in America where folks are said guilty and to prove to be innocent, although it's supposed to be innocent first, and it's supposed to be proven not to be guilty, okay? But it's the other way around in our nation. It says this in verse 62, then the high priest stood up. He says, aren't you going to answer this charge? He said to him, what are these people accusing you of? And verse 63 says, but Jesus remain silent. Here's a principle I want you to learn. Don't always have conversations with your accusers. When people call me, that's why I want to talk to you about something, I always say, about what? If you can't tell me what that is, I'm not talking to you. Because when people do that, they try to set you up, put you in a meeting, put you in front of somebody. I learned a long time ago, when people say that, I'd be like, about what? I want to know. Don't you want to talk to you about something? Nope. You can't tell me what it is, I'm not talking to you. Because I learned that game a long time ago. Jesus remained silent. He didn't say nothing because he knew it was a lie. And sometimes when you pay attention to lies and you give attention to a lot of negativity, you keep feeding it and it just keeps on living. Sometimes when you want a fire to go out, you suck out the oxygen. And Jesus does not fuel that accusation because he knew it was beneath him. But this priest is going to say something that's going to make Jesus say something, because Jesus cannot sin. He has to be accurate. He has to be the perfect lamb. So we have to choose his words wisely, all right? I'm talking about, you know, how to protect yourself from erroneous teachings that will help you live a better Christian life. And verse 63, but Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, I put you on oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, God's son. Now, Jesus has to answer. And it says in 64, you said the words. King James said it like this, thou sayest, or you got that right. All right? He said, which means you are the Messiah and you're God's son. Now, when you hear the word Messiah, you may think it's a white guy with long hair running around looking like a hippie carrying a lamb. When they hear the word Messiah, it means king, ruler, and someone that's supposed to run a government. From the book of Daniel, chapter 7, it is a fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. All right? Stay with me. Verse 64. You said the words, replied Jesus. But let me tell you this. From now on, you will see the Son of... Now, watch how it says, from now on, which is almost like progressive, from this point in, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, that's Father God, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Now, of course, you see clouds, you think skies outside, but in the mind of a Jewish thinker, they don't see clouds like you see clouds. Clouds like a shield, a covering. And the Son of Man is coming before the Ancient of Days about to receive the keys of the kingdom, which means it's the government that reigns over all governments. So to say that you're the guy called the Son of Man right here, you are saying in Daniel chapter 7, you are the fulfillment of the guy in Daniel chapter 7. How do I know? Because the next verse says, the high priest tore his clothes. This is verse 65. And then he says, what got him in trouble, you have blasphemed. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, you've heard this blasphemy here and now. What's your verdict? He deserves to die. They answered. That's the Sanhedrin Council. Sanhedrin Council, like 70 supreme rulers who kind of go up, go down, okay? And after that, verse 67, they spit in his face and they punched him. Some of them slapped him. And one says, prophesy to us, Mr. Messiah, who was it that hit you? Now, here's the point I'm making at this point. Here's the point I want to make. And I want to back up and show you some things here. And I'm talking about that erroneous teachings can affect you. So when you hear the term, the coming of the Lord, this is not the type of coming that Pilate, that the high priest is thinking of when you hear the word coming. That word coming comes from Daniel chapter 7, where it says the Son of Man is coming in a cloud before the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days looks to give him keys over all the governments. And this government that's coming into power is more powerful than all governments. This government will never come to an end, and it will smash all governments. You can give me any government you want, from the Assyrians to the Babylonians to the Greek government to the Roman government to the Jewish government. This government that Daniel speaks about in Daniel 7 and Jesus speaks about, it's Christ Jesus' rulership. This is the one. He's seated in heavenly places, and it moves in an invisible world, and he that trusts in Christ, listen to him, will smash all governments. And Jesus was saying, high priest, I don't care if you sentence me to death. Right after you do this to me, you're going to see me continually coming in front of your face. You're going to see me coming over there, coming over there, coming over there. And that's a sign of the coming of the Lord coming closer and closer, because there's a coming called judgment. Now hold up, hold your fingers there, and let's back up to Matthew Gospel. Now I'm reading from a beautiful paraphrase Bible called the Kingdom New Testament, a contemporary translation by N.T. Wright. I think one of the greatest scholars of all time. Here's the Bible here. It puts it in very plain English, and anytime you see N.T. Wright, buy all his material. He, I think, produces a type of biblical interpretation that includes a Mesopotamian thinking, a Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek thinking, and listening to things that are apropos at that time. Now, in 2 minutes, we're going to take a break from DDB Radio. I'm going to stay with Mike Live and keep it flowing until we come back. But in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and let me, well, you know what? It's almost 2:30. Let me just hold off and read it at. Now, I gave you almost 30 minutes on this whole thing about protecting yourself against error. God bless you, Prince. And I'm trying to show you that some of the teachings that we have received, we need to go back and do some restudy and really get our focus on what our focus should be, and actually be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Anytime you find the word gospel, it is synonymous with kingdom. So anytime you find the word gospel in the Bible, you can slip in the word kingdom, because they're the same word. Kingdom comes from a Hebrew word, the basilica, which means the conquering king and the kingdom. The basilica, when it says in the first chapter of Genesis, I will give you dominion. In other words, I will give you basilica, rule, reign, dominion. I'll give you ownership. I'll give you rulership and management. We're going to come back after a three-minute break here on www.mikebroadcastdv.com. You're listening to Reverend Michael D. McDuffie, also watching Reverend Michael D. McDuffie on Mike Live. Let's take a three-minute break.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night, feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line-of-duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD Detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com. And now back to the program. DDVRadio.com.
All right, we're back to www.mybroadcastdv.com. This is your host, Reverend Michael D.B. Duffy. You're also watching my live, and I've been teaching this series about beware of false teachings and become more aware of what's been taught to you because that can affect you. President Chris, I gave the name of this broadcast before I started. You can find that name and put it up. I forgot what I named it. I'm just study talking about false teachers and protecting people from words we assume what they mean. But when you study the Bible, it'll mean what you thought it mean. Like the word coming comes from the Greek term parousia, which means a manifestation of God, an arrival, one official meet another official. When Jesus was by the high priest, and he said that you're going to see me coming in a cloud and sitting next to the power on the right-hand side, he is saying, I'm God Almighty. I'm seated right next to God the Father. I'm God as Son. He's God as Father. And the cloud is a manifestation of Daniel chapter 7. And Daniel interprets the dream, or he sees a vision that shows that this term called cloud is a term used by God himself. So when Jesus is accused of committing blasphemy, and Jesus said, well, I'm not have to say this, but I am the Messiah. I'm not making apologies. And that was just enough evidence that the high priest, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin council needed to trump up the charges to turn him over to Rome to be crucified. And I gave you the word, the English word for parousia, which is coming. And that word alone, coming, is a word that is used all the time in some of our stories. We're talking about the end of the world. Here comes the rapture. Here comes 666. You know, they're going to hide it in your phone. Hide it. And you got people today that don't have email addresses, they don't do investments, don't buy property, they told me the end of the world was coming. You know, when I was a junior in high school, I sat in people's homes and told me that the end of the world was coming in 1980. I'm telling you, man, they told me the end of the world was coming in the year 2000, 30000, all the computers going to collapse. We master in fear, even with corona and COVID. Fear. People just move by fear. And Jesus says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And anyone that tries to motivate you by making you afraid, nah, man, that's not it. That's not it. And you got to watch these people. They try to teach you biblical things, and they're not biblical. Now, it might be right in your denomination. It might be in your house. There's a show you come on TV called Ron's House. Ron's House, I believe Christ's house. It's only what's right when you're in Ron's house. When you walk out your church house and hit other bodies of Christ, the understanding is a little bit different. So sometimes denominational teachings, warp doctrines, will limit you the way you see your world. Like, for example, here the world, people say, you know, the heavens and earth is going to pass away, you know, and his word shall remain forever. And you hear the word heavens and earth, right? You think about heavens and earth, right? But in Isaiah chapter 1, God calls Israel heaven and earth. He calls Israel the heavens and earth. How about this one? You know, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you're thinking up in the sky, right? But the main thing is, and you're thinking the sun is the dad, the man, and governmental leadership. And the moon is the wife or the woman or the reflection of the husband, and the children are the stars. See, this is why we hear certain words. We assume we know what they mean. But when you go back and study it from the terms of Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and you study it in its contextual setting, it will blow away Western form of Christianity. So when I teach these words, I'm not doing it trying to spoil everybody's doctrine, but I'm trying to free people from bondage. They can't even enjoy life. They don't even enjoy life. Even watching a mother raise her child, or watching a father raise their family, or learning to grow old with grace, enjoying your 20s and your 30s, and learning how to go to the movies and laugh and have a good time, crack jokes. We got these church folks. Ooh, it's in the end of the world. Ooh, look up in the sky. Look up at Jesus, crack the sky. That teaching is very damaging. And I gave the testimony, President Crystal runs out here. I gave the testimony. I ran into some church mothers who kept their daughters home from the prom. I'm serious. I'm out here caring. You come on TV. It's over-religious. And she told me that her daughter was not going to the prom because they're going to play unchurch music. The music is not Holy Ghost. It's not gospel. And I'm not putting my daughter in no atmosphere. You know, the scriptures appear, you know, don't be around any appearance of evil. She would go, ooh. I was like, oh, God, you setting your daughter up to run wild when she leaves. I said, boy, you treat your daughter like that? I bet she can't wait till she go to college. She'd be like, I can't wait till I go to college. I'm going all the way to Russia University. She said, I can get as far as possible away from my church folks. He says, because they done took everything away from me. I can't wear pants. I got to wear these long dresses. And I can't go to no parties. I can't even watch something on TV unless it got scripture in it. I'll be feeling so bad for them. And then I'm looking at the mother. She's going shopping at Walmart. And all type of music playing across the airwaves. Ooh, I don't go to the bar. You know, alcohol in the bar. We go to TGS Fridays. They serve alcohol. So a lot of stuff we learn. It's really religious. It's over the top. It is binding. It's bondage. And that's when your folks finally get at your house. They won't come near you. They don't like you. They don't like you. All right? It's funny, right? I was on the phone line the other day with one of my students at my school. And we're going through, of course, virtual world training and teaching. And she's a senior. And she got online. And while in the middle of the class, she said these words, Pastor Sharon. She says, you know, our school needs Reverend Marcus because he's the best reverend I ever saw in my whole life. He just does so much. When I was in eighth grade, this guy helped me out. This guy did this thing. She said, I don't even like reverend. I don't even like church, but I like Reverend Marcus. He's the best reverend I ever met. He's the only one I like. Now, the main teacher knows I'm in the class, and he's laughing. Mr. D said, now, what about Reverend McDuffie? She says, I said what I said. I like Reverend Marcus. I said, you go, girl. Whatever works for you. See? Reverend Marcus impacted her life. So she really attended church while she was in school. See? We don't see it like that. Because Christ impacted her through the ministry of Reverend Marcus. See that? And I had to call Marcus on the phone. And Marcus, man, you impacted this girl in the eighth grade. She in 12th grade. And she said, you're the only reverend she ever liked. So I told Reverend Marcus, go back and get that girl. She's a future member of your church because you impacted. Go get that sheep. And Reverend Marcus was laughing. He was laughing so loud. He's a pastor, but she said that. I said, yeah, she didn't care. See, our concept of ministry, it is so warped. It has affected our ability to pastor our teenagers. I'm Donna Harris, Ricky Green. I'm telling you, man, you got to make church fun. But we make it so eerie and so boring. We walk through 10 church like that. Boring. My dog. When you go to a pastor, talk about the, I want to go to college. He starts talking about the rapture. I'm trying to get a degree in business. I don't know, child. You know, Christ coming soon. What does that mean? He's been coming soon for a long time. And folk always, you know, he's coming soon. And you get to Acts chapter 1 when the Holy Ghost is poured out. Joel says, this is that. And it says, in the last days, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And Peter said, that was the last day. So whatever happened in Acts 2, that was the last day. So wait, what's this today? Because it's based on the quality of teaching that's around us. And based on your teacher and your trainer, that will affect your future. I was telling people today, there's a time to live, a time to die. There's a time to sow, a time to pluck up what has been sown. There's a time to love, there's a time to hate. There's a time for all things. Church folks, the only folk I know will stay in one time zone and think nothing ain't changing. You're not going to be 20 forever. You're not going to be 30 forever. You're not going to be 40 forever. You're going to get old. And more than likely, look at my lips, everybody, you're going to die. I know we don't like to hear that. No, Pastor Mike, he's got to crack the sky and end everything. More than likely, no. Because some of you have kids who are 1 year old, 2 years old. My grandson right now, baby, is less than 1 year old. And more than likely, he's going to grow up and get a wife and have kids. And the kids will grow up. So more than likely, he's going to bury many of us. Some of y'all watching me, I'm going to do your funeral. I know it sounds morbid, right? My daughter's in Pastor Mike. Why you sound so morbid? Because you don't really live until you die. When you understand life, you take every moment, every second, every day as a gift. Kobe Bryant wore the number 24 on the back of his jersey. They asked him why he picked that number. He said, because everybody gets the same 24 hours. And you decide what you want to do with those 24 hours. See, don't give me no excuse. Don't give me the white man, the black man, somebody holding me down. He said, everybody gets the same 24 hours. He said, I have no sympathy for lazy people who don't grind and put the work in to become great. That's the church message, not the stuff we teach. Now, go to Matthew 24. Let me show you something about the word coming. All right. In Matthew 24, right? Look at this. Matthew 24, Donna Harris and David Ray. It says this: Jesus left the temple and went away. As he did so, his disciples came and pointed out the temple buildings to him. Now, right there, that's going to mess something up with your rapture message, with your end of the world teaching. Because everything Jesus says in Matthew 24, it is centered around a temple called Herod Temple, or the temple that sits on top of a mountain, which is called the Temple of Jerusalem. Herod was placed in power by Caesar. He was a hired king to keep Israel in check because Rome was dominating the Jews. All right, so when Rome came in and took over the Holy Land, they just took their government and just put it there and ran it, although they stayed in France, Caesar, am I right, France, right? Caesar, Rome. And Rome ran the Holy Land from the land of Caesar's throne. So Pilate and Herod was like diplomats that represented Caesar. I think it's a hell Hitler, that comes from hell Caesar, okay? So when Jesus talked about the temple, which is six football fields wide, listen to me, I went to Israel, six football fields wide. It was one of the wonders of the world. It was the richest thing, probably cost millions of dollars to build, over 40 years to build. And somebody said it took over 153,000 workers to build it. It is made out of marble. And the Jews would come and bring sacrifices to the temple, and folks were selling things in the temple, making money in the temple. They loved the money. They prayed long prayers. Their heart wasn't in it. They fast. They could do a hula hoop with a Cheerio, and their heart was far from God. They even raised money, but it always went to the walls of the temple. But it wasn't about ministry, helping people, and training with the king, because they said Christ was out. And they kissed the dove. They would give money, but they drop money in the basket, and they kissed the stone. Somebody would give $1 million. I'm giving $1 million. They blow the trumpet, and everybody come running. I'm about to give my million. I'm giving my million. I'm giving my million. They just bragged about it. While this lady is sitting right next to him, who got two mites. He got like $2. He can't eat. And the billion-dollar man don't think to buy her a Wonder Bread sandwich or fish and chips because he's so focused. And Jesus said, this woman gave all and all, y'all. You just gave out of excess. He said, you fake it. You capping. See, that's the mindset when you understand Jewish thinking. But if you read the Bible as an American, you're going to miss the Bible, man. And sometimes we try to translate certain things, and we have no idea what was going on during the Jewish time, which is the Jewish world or the Jewish heaven and earth. Because when you talk to the Jew in the first and second century, they were the heavens and earth. Watch this. The temple was the heaven, and Jerusalem was the earth. So when they worshiped God in the temple, they said, God is our God, and we are God's people. And that's all they had in their mind. They were thinking about those Gentiles. Michael the devil was on their mind. The Jews said, we are not God's chosen. They said, you are God's only people. That was their whole mindset. They didn't understand God was coming. He was laying line upon line, precept upon precept. He said, no, you're not the only, you're first. But then here comes the second, here comes the third, here comes the fourth. Italy, not France. Thank you, President Christopher. Italy, yeah, I knew you were correct, man. Italy. So it's so important to understand this powerful principle here. If your understanding is off, so is everything else. So a lot of times, slavery is built into the brain. You're trained to think as a slave. You're told you can't do this, you can't do that. So why do I have to waste time with bars and chains? Your mind is already locked up. Folks who think that the white man ice is colder. It amazes me the limitation we put on people because we were placed in limitation. You know, you didn't go to the prom, so you don't want your daughter to go. You know, and we pass error on. You know, just like stress to be passed on. Yes, stress to be passed on. If you suffered all your life and you ain't getting nothing broken off of you, you carry it and you drop it on your kids. And they pick up growing and they drop it. They keep on dropping from generation to generation. Listen, if demons and sicknesses could be passed down from bloodlines, I believe faith can also be. Matthew 24, read it verse 1. Jesus left the temple and went away. As he did so, his disciples came and pointed out the temple buildings to him. 40 acres wide, 6 football fields wide, and this where all the action was, all the money, all the commerce. You can almost say that the temple was like New York City at 9 o'clock on 7th Avenue and Broadway. Lights, camera, action, money. Ooh, everybody came there, and it was doing a bunch of devilish stuff, right? And then Jesus, and they were so proud about the temple, and when Jesus walked out the temple, it's like they tapped Jesus on the shoulder, right? They stopped and said, they said, what about this? What about our temple? And this is what Jesus said. And you can see why they killed him, because he makes the craziest statement. He said, yeah, you see all these things? I'm telling you the truth. Not one stone will be left standing upon another. All of them will be thrown down. Do y'all know? That's like saying, you know, you stand in line for the Super Bowl, and somebody come and take all your tickets. I mean, you're just so set that this is like the greatest thing in the world. This is it. You know, can't get no better than this. And then Jesus said, Super Bowl canceled. He said, in about 40 years, all the stuff y'all see, it's going to be rubble on the ground. And it's going to set on fire. Remember the song we said, catch on fire. I wish somebody so would. When he talked about fire, it wasn't a good thing. The fire was set by Rome on the temple of the Jews, because they was fighting against Rome. When Jesus already said within a 40-year period, this would be cast to the ground. And those who wanted to escape the coming of the Lord, had to grab their coats and run. And if you're pregnant, I feel bad for you because you may have to run with a pregnant child. It would have been better a woman is not pregnant during these times. You can read this, man. This is all in history. But many pastors don't teach this because they don't know. They need a course in SITU. They need to sit and listen. Remember the story? And because of the time, I can't really give you this whole story. Jesus was, you know, carrying his cross. And there was people crying. Crying, Mr. Wanda, right? And Jesus, he just said, I don't know why y'all crying for me. He said, you better weep for yourselves. Like, what in the world? You gotta read this. I cannot believe you said that. He's crying and I'll beat him and punch him and he stopped. He said, why y'all crying for me? He said, you better cry for yourself. Then he said, it would have been better that some of you mothers are not pregnant at this time, because when judgment is coming, you're gonna have to run pregnant. Now, when I say that to some of y'all, y'all shocked because you have not been taught that in your church, because that was a coming, Brother David. A coming. Coming means I'm coming to bring judgment and correction, and I gave you a word that I am the Christ, and you keep rejecting me. Well, you keep rejecting me because judgment is coming. I came to visit you like a mother hen to gather the chicks, but you not embrace my visitation. And do you not embrace my visitation, they're going to build embankments around you. They're going to trap you in. They're going to hem you in. And they're going to kill all the kids inside your womb. another word for abortion. All right, now, I know I messed up some of y'all right there, but I'm trying to teach you, when Jesus said this word, this was a deadly word. Because what he was saying is, all this emphasis on a physical building, when the real temple is here, Jesus, I'm the real guy. I'm the real guy. You're supposed to be focusing on me, not a building. Y'all focus on Moses and Abraham and David. I'm the son of David. I'm better than David. I'm better than Moses. I'm better than John. And Jesus said, can't you understand, man? He's bragging. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He's a greater one than John the Baptist is here. And every time he said, they was like, because they didn't like him because he came to bring correction. All right? And Crystal said, and all those churches fighting with Bill, they were all closed in 2020. Lockdown, right? I'm driving Uber when it first happened. All these big buildings empty. I mean, dark, no place, no light. I said, dang God, everybody home in the house. And to go back to Acts 20, they had service from house to house. Because we need to go back to our house and take care of our family. We need to take care of them kids. Don't be running past your kids, trying to be the deacon and run past the kids, be the priest and get your sermon together. Your kids can't stand you. They can't stand you. You know, we go on looking at churches, counting bodies, count how well they preach. And his kids in the front seat sleep. They can't stand their dad. They can't stand the priest. They can't wait till the service is over. And listen, I got 1 minute. I got to close out DG Radio, and I'll take this in this listening. Thank you for tuning in to www.mybroadcastddb.com. Thank you for listening to the message I taught today on the danger of erroneous teachings and the purpose of the word of the coming of the Lord. We're going to catch you next Saturday at 2 o'clock at www.mybroadcastddb.com. And I'm going to also share with you some things. We got announcements. 7:47 on Sundays, our church service, please tune in. Got some great things coming. We're going to be revamping up the pastors, past worship, clergy on fire. Those who are ordained and licensed in ministry want to join my group. We're going to start doing Zoom fellowships starting in February, so get ready. Big ups to Miss Mary Steeman, 91 years old. Her husband, Mr. Bill Steeman, a faithful member of the pastor workshop clergy and fire for years. He finally went to heaven, but he encouraged his wife to encourage us in the workshop. So in the name of Bill Steeman, we're going to be revamping up the pastor workshop clergy and fire. So please stay near. We also have my Roku television channel called KOM, Knowledge of Movement. If you want to go on TV, you got some type of service, business plan, we'll put you on television. You will reach over 40 million people. So reach out to President Chris. I got to go. Thank you for watching and listening to DV Radio. Got to go.
If you are searching for a doctor that truly cares about your overall health and well-being, contact Dr. Alex at Tri-State Health and Wellness. For more than 11 years, Dr. Alex has been treating law enforcement professionals and their families while focusing on one-on-one care so you never feel rushed. All necessary testing can be conducted during your visit, and they feature flexible hours and appointments to accommodate alternating work schedules. Tri-State Health and Wellness is conveniently located in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Contact Dr. Alex today by visiting www.bluetristate.com. Mortgages for Everyday Heroes from Michelle Hendershot and Homebridge Financial Services. If you're looking to purchase a home or refinance an existing mortgage, Michelle Hendershot can assist you every step of the way. With over 10 years of experience assisting law enforcement officers with their dream of owning a home, the choice is simple. Contact Michelle Hendershot today. Visit www.mortgagesforblue.com. Are you tired of sleeping alone each night, feeling sluggish during the day? Is your snoring keeping your spouse awake at night? If you find yourself spending too much time on the couch, maybe it's time to visit Dr. Michael Doblin of At Home Sleep Solutions. Dr. Doblin is the preferred sleep apnea doctor of New Jersey's law enforcement officers. With the help of a custom-fitted oral device, you can finally say goodbye to noisy, antiquated sleep apnea machines. For more information and to schedule an appointment today, contact Dr. Michael Doblin. Visit www.bluesnore.com. Moment of Silence, Inc., along with Blue Suicide, is a nonprofit organization founded to support and raise awareness about the epidemic of suicides amongst law enforcement, military personnel, and first responders. For more information on how you can help, visit momentofsilenceinc.org. If you're in the market, market for a new vehicle or a certified used vehicle, then visit Fetty Auto Group, located at the junction of Route 46 and Route 3 in Clifton, New Jersey. Fetty Auto Group stands shoulder to shoulder with the men and women in blue. Stop by and ask for Troy Mall and ask about the offers for first responders. For more information, visit FettyAuto.com. That's FettyAuto.com. The Blue Magazine, the law enforcement publication by law enforcement professionals for the men and women of law enforcement. The unfiltered voice of law enforcement. TheBlueMagazine.com. Founded in 2014 by retired NYPD police officer Michael Burke, Brothers Before Others is a national 501c3 law enforcement charity comprised solely of both sworn and retired police officers. Since their inception, Brothers Before Others has sent floral arrangements to the services of all line of duty deaths, regardless of where in the country they occur. Having spent over $350,000 to date, while the National Flower Fund remains their cornerstone, their benevolence has since grown well beyond that, even into the civilian world. For more information on how to get involved or to donate, visit brothersbeforeothers.org, or you can visit their public forums on all social media platforms by searching Brothers Before Others. Line of Duty Cigars, owned and operated by retired NYPD detective Tom Werther. Visit lineofdutycigars.com for our handmade Nicaraguan cigars, custom ashtrays, custom humidors, and custom flask sets. Also, when you place an order, you choose a law enforcement, first responder, or veteran charity, and Line of Duty Cigars donates 10% to that organization. Planning a special event? Contact us today. Visit www.lineofdutycigars.com.